All right, let's jump right in today. We're going to be looking at a Texas court case that really makes you think about how you write a will. Just one little phrase could be the difference between inheriting a fortune or, well, nothing.
Yeah, wills can be tricky.
That's what happened in Rhea State of Cragen. It all comes down to a handwritten will.
A holographic will.
Right, a holographic will. It's those handwritten ones that always seem to cause trouble.
They certainly can be tricky to interpret sometimes. In this case, it became a question of whether the wife got just temporary use of the property, or if she got to own it outright. A life estate versus a fee simple. Big difference.
Yeah, so let's get into the specifics. Dalton Cragen died and left behind a will he wrote himself. There are two phrases in it that caused all the issues. First, it says, Debbie gets everything till she dies. Seems pretty simple, right?
Seems like it.
But then later, it says, I leave to my wife, Daphne Cragen, all real and personal property. And it turns out, Debbie is Daphne, his wife.
Ah, so using two different names for his wife definitely didn't make things clear.
Nope, not at all. And that's where the children from his previous marriage, Brian and Sabrina, saw an opening. They figured that till she dies, language meant their stepmom, Daphne, only got a life estate. She could use the property, but when she died, it would go to them.
Right, a classic life estate situation. She gets to use it while she's alive, but she doesn't really own it.
Seems like a pretty strong argument, especially with that till she dies phrase right there in the will.
It does, but Daphne's estate had a different take. They argued that the phrase all real and personal property meant Dalton wanted her to have it all a fee simple, not just temporary use.
So two very different readings of the same will. And it wasn't just about the words. It was about who actually controlled the property after Dalton died.
Huge implications. The difference between a life estate and a fee simple is enormous. Who gets to sell the property? Who gets to live there? Who inherits it? This case was about way more than just legal technicalities.
Absolutely. So what happened? Did the court go with the children and the life estate, or did they side with Daphne's estate and the fee simple?
Well, both the trial court and the appeals court went with Daphne's estate. They said she got a fee simple full ownership.
Wow, so Daphne's estate won. But I'm curious, how did the courts reach that decision? They didn't just look at those two phrases alone, did they?
Oh no, they had to look at the whole will and apply some key legal principles to figure out what Dalton really meant.
Okay, let's dig into that a bit. What were those legal principles that led them to rule in favor of Daphne's estate?
Well, the first thing they had to consider was something called the ambiguity threshold.
Ambiguity threshold.
Basically, since the wording of the will was open to more than one interpretation, the court had to really dig deep and try to figure out what Dalton truly intended.
Makes sense. They couldn't just stop at the surface. They had to put on their detective hats.
Exactly. And that's where the presumption against intestacy comes in.
Okay, now that's a mouthful. What's that all about?
Basically, courts don't like leaving things up in the air. They want to avoid situations where property has to be divided up without a valid will, which is what intestacy means. Giving Daphne a fee simple kept everything nice and tidy within the will.
So it's like they were saying, let's assume Dalton wanted to avoid a big legal mess after Daphne passed away.
Pretty much. And then there's the principle of immediate vesting. Texas law generally prefers that gifts transfer ownership right away, unless the will says otherwise. And the court thought that the phrase all property pointed toward immediate ownership for Daphne, not a delayed inheritance for the children.
So the actual language seems to support the idea that Daphne was supposed to have full control right away.
Yeah. And to top it off, you have what's called the dominant clause doctrine. Think of it as a ranking of importance within the will. The court decided that all property was the main point, the dominant clause, and it outweighed that till she dies language.
So it's like they were saying that all property was the big important statement and till she dies was just a casual remark.
You could see it that way. And because holographic wills are handwritten, not written up by lawyers usually, the court gave some leeway to the language. They figured that till she dies was probably just Dalton speaking casually, not a legal term for a life estate.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about the children? Did they have any legal arguments on their side?
Well, they could have argued for the presumption against disinheritance.
Hold on, presumption against what now?
It's basically the idea that you shouldn't assume a parent would purposely cut their kids out of their will. It's like saying, hey, wouldn't dad want to take care of us too?
That seems reasonable. Did the court consider that argument?
They did, but unfortunately for the children, the court felt that the will clearly named Daphne as the only beneficiary, and the children didn't have any other evidence to show their dad meant to include them. So the court stuck with what the will said.
So it sounds like those two little words, till she dies, really tripped them up. They were hoping those words would unlock their inheritance, but it didn't work out that way.
That's right. And it shows how important it is to use clear language in estate planning. Just one little phrase can have big consequences. In this case, it meant the children missed out on potentially inheriting. This case really highlights how important those legal terms are, like life estate and fee simple. They sound pretty basic, but they mean totally different things legally.
Yeah, they're like secret code words. If you don't know the code, you might end up with something you didn't expect at all.
Right. So for anyone listening who needs a refresher, imagine a life estate is like having a VIP ticket to an amazing concert. You get to enjoy the show the whole time, but you don't get to take the stage home with you. You get to use the property during your life, but you can't sell it, and you can't leave it to someone in your will.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah.
You get to enjoy the benefits, but you don't actually own the thing. So Daphne could have lived in the property, but couldn't have sold it or decided who would get it after she died.
Exactly. But a fee simple, on the other hand, is like owning the entire music festival, the stage, the bands, the merchandise, everything. You're in complete control and can decide what happens to it all.
So the court basically said Daphne inherited everything, lock, stock, and barrel. She could do whatever she wanted with it.
Yep, that's the power of a fee simple. And that's why this case was so important. It decided the fate of Dalton's whole estate. If the court had said it was a life estate, Daphne would only have had control for a while, and then the property would have probably gone to Dalton's children.
It's crazy how one little difference in wording can make such a huge difference in the outcome. You mentioned the presumption against intestacy before. Can you tell us more about why that was so important in this case?
Of course. Dying without a valid will, which is called intestacy, is like leaving a puzzle half finished. The state has to come in and try to put the pieces together based on their rules, which might not be what you wanted at all.
So it's about making sure your wishes are followed even after you're gone.
Exactly. And that's why courts try to avoid intestacy. In this case, giving Daphne a fee simple meant everything was taken care of within the will itself. No need for the state to step in and make assumptions.
Seems like the court was trying to honor Dalton's wishes while also following legal principles that prevent confusion in arguments.
You got it. But here's something interesting. The children could have done something to maybe change the court's decision.
Really? What could they have done?
They could have brought in what's called extrinsic evidence. Things like letters, emails, or witnesses who could back up their claim that Dalton wanted them to inherit the property eventually.
So it's not just about what's written in the will itself. It's also about the context and what led up to it. They could have tried to show a brisk picture of their dad's intentions.
Exactly. They could have said, look, even if the will doesn't say it directly, there are other things that show our dad wanted us to benefit from his estate in the end.
That would have definitely made things more complicated. It might have changed how the court looked at the will. It shows that legal cases are often about telling a convincing story, not just focusing on specific words or phrases.
Absolutely. But in this case, the children didn't bring any of that evidence, so they were stuck relying on that till she dies phrase. And as we talked about, that wasn't enough to prove it was a life estate.
It's a good reminder that even if there are other things going on, if you don't have evidence, your legal argument won't be as strong.
For sure. And it highlights a key point for anyone listening when it comes to legal stuff. Documentation is super important. What people say or imply isn't always easy to prove in court. Having clear, written proof can make all the difference.
This whole case really emphasizes how careful you need to be with estate planning, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, the Cragen case also makes you think about holographic wills in general.
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts on those? Those handwritten ones?
Well, they're convenient and offer some flexibility, but they can also be risky. Because they're handwritten and often not written in precise legal language, they're more likely to be ambiguous and misinterpreted, just like in this case.
It's like wandering through a maze without a map. You might find your way out eventually, but you're more likely to take wrong turns and get lost.
Exactly. And those wrong turns can lead to long legal battles and outcomes that nobody intended. Holographic wills are legal in Texas, but this case shows why it's so important to get legal advice if you're thinking about making one.
It's like having an expert guide leading you through that maze, making sure you get to your destination safely and efficiently.
Exactly. Having a legal professional involved can help you make sure the will is done right, the language is clear, and your wishes are expressed accurately.
It's a good reminder that sometimes getting professional help can save you from a lot of stress and heartache down the line, especially when it comes to something as important as your legacy.
I couldn't agree more. This case shows that estate planning isn't something you should try to do yourself. Getting expert advice can make a huge difference in protecting your assets and making sure your wishes are followed.
We've really dug into this Cragen case, haven't we? Exploring the legal principles, the things the children could have done differently, and how tricky those holographic wills can be.
We have, and I think there are valuable lessons here for lawyers and everyone else too.
Before we wrap up, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on. The court said Daphne was named as the only beneficiary. What if the children had been mentioned in the will, even without specifics about what they would inherit? Would that have changed things?
That's a great question. It gets to the heart of how courts figure out what the person making the will really wanted. Just mentioning the children, even without saying what they'd get, could suggest that Dalton wanted them to be part of his plan.
It's like introducing a little bit of doubt. Maybe Dalton didn't want Daphne to inherit absolutely everything.
Exactly. It might have allowed the children to bring in other evidence about their dad's intentions, even if it wasn't in the will. Maybe there were letters or conversations that hinted at them getting something in the future.
So even a small thing, like mentioning someone's name, can impact how a will is understood.
Absolutely. It shows how important it is to think carefully about every single word when writing a will. Even little details matter legally and can affect a court's decision.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything in this case. It's been a fascinating look at language, intention, and all the complications of inheritance.
It really has. I hope our listeners appreciate the power of words and see why it's so important to get expert help with estate planning.
Now, as we wrap up our deep dive into the Cragen case, what are the main things our listeners should take away from all of this? So as we wrap up our deep dive into the Cragen case, what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners? What's that one nugget of wisdom they should carry with them long after this episode ends?
You know, I think the most important lesson here is that estate planning isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. You really got to consider everyone's situation, make sure your wishes are clear, and a lot of times you need to get advice from legal professionals. It's not just about grabbing a will template off the internet and filling in the blanks.
It's like getting a suit tailored. You need an expert to make sure it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
And in this case, not doing that led to a whole lot of confusion and a legal battle.
Exactly. Wills and other estate planning documents should be tailored to your specific needs and what you want to accomplish. When it comes to something as important as your legacy, you can't just use generic solutions or make assumptions.
Speaking of assumptions, the Cragen case shows that just because you're family doesn't automatically mean you'll inherit. We might think that parents naturally want to provide for their kids, but the law doesn't work on those kinds of assumptions. A will is a legal document, and courts have to follow what it says, even if it doesn't seem fair or normal.
That's a good point. Sometimes blood really isn't thicker than ink when it comes to legal stuff. If you want to be absolutely sure that certain people are included in your estate plan, you need to put it in writing. Don't rely on promises or family ties. Clarity beats feelings every time in legal matters.
It all comes back to that old saying, get it in writing. Talking about it or having good intentions might be fine for personal relationships, but in court, you need something more solid.
And that's where getting legal advice is so important. A good estate planning lawyer can help you figure all this out, make sure your documents are clear and easy to understand, and make sure your wishes are followed correctly without any surprises.
It's an investment that can really save your loved ones a lot of trouble and legal headaches later on. Plus, it makes sure your legacy is handled the way you want it.
I agree completely. Estate planning is about more than just money and property. It's about peace of mind and keeping your family happy. It's about leaving things clear and organized, not messy and confusing.
So, to sum up our deep dive into the Cragen case, what's the one piece of advice we want to leave our listeners with?
Don't wait until it's too late to get your affairs in order. Estate planning is something you should be doing regularly, checking and updating as things change in your life. Talk to a professional, get a plan in place that reflects what you want, and make sure your loved ones are taken care of. The Cragen case shows what can happen when you put things off elf. The consequences can last a long time, and they might not be what you intended.
Well said. Clarity, intentionality, and getting expert help, that's the recipe for good estate planning. And remember, even simple phrases can have a big impact legally. so don't leave anything to chance.
Exactly. This case shows how important estate planning is. It's about protecting your legacy and the people you care about.
And with that, we want to thank everyone for joining us on this deep dive into the Cragen case. We hope you found it interesting, informative, and maybe even made you think a little.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and be sure to join us for more deep dives into the fascinating world of law.
And remember, if you have questions or need help with your own estate planning, don't hesitate to reach out to a legal professional. It's the best way to make sure your legacy is protected and your wishes are honored.
Definitely. Don't be afraid to ask for help, especially when it comes to something this important.
All right, that's a wrap on our deep dive. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time for another exciting exploration of the law.
Until then, stay sharp, and remember, when it comes to estate planning, clarity is key.